As Ali has indicated, this is our 41st anniversary. And in many ways, it doesn't seem like a year ago that Reverend McCashton was here, who was one of our former ministers on that special 40th anniversary occasion. And for those of you who were here, how many of you remember what the title of his sermon was? It was Bloom Where You Are Planted. And if essentially he was saying, it's not necessary for God to send us somewhere else, to another place to serve him and to witness for him, but that he can use you where he has called you to be, to witness and work and serve him there. And over the past few weeks, the Lord has been laying this passage on my mind. And it's really just touched my life, because I've entitled my sermon this morning of How Much More. And if we had just to carry on from what Ali read in chapter 11 of Luke, in verse 11, it says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just going to look at this passage briefly this morning, but also I want to tease out some other places in Scripture where it talks for this phrase, how much more, is used. And it says, ask, seek, and knock. And and what is essentially Jesus is saying, because of the grammar that's used in the Greek here, what we call continuous verbs. So to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. And we need to do that. We need to seek God. We need to petition him time after time after time, to ask him to move in a particular situation or in a particular way. We need to seek and petition him to guide us and to lead us forward, to persevere and therefore keep on knocking for him to answer. The door will be opened, and one day it will be. And that can be a knock from someone who's inquiring about Jesus as to, is he their Savior and Lord? Or another situation where we're seeking God to move in a particular way, and that he will take down the barriers and make a way clear. And that really is sometimes very difficult to do at times, especially as we've been asking, seeking, and knocking for some time, when literally or figuratively we've been on our knees before the Lord for years at times, as we wait on God to answer. It can, in some instances, be so easy to give up. But we need to believe that God is not indifferent to our prayers. He does hear our cries and our petitions. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's an indication as to how we are to present our prayers. An indication too there that we need perseverance to keep going. And we have to believe that in his time, in his will, and in his purpose, God will answer. And Jesus uses this short parable that Ali read to illustrate how persistence pays off. And later on in Luke's gospel, we read too of the widow who bothers the judge so much that eventually he gives her the justice that she wants. This is Luke 18, the first few verses. Jesus then told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor men. And there was a widow there in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets the justice so that she won't wear me out with her coming. We cannot wear God out with our coming to him in prayer. He longs to hear us and he wants to hear us. And he wants us to give us so much more, because that's what we read here in this passage. And Jesus compares the goodness of earthly fathers to the goodness of the Heavenly Father. It's a pretty bizarre situation when a child asks his father for a fish and he gives him a snake. Or if he asks for an egg, he gives him a scorpion. And really what Jesus is saying, that yes, your earthly fathers are on the whole want the best for you. But compared to what your Heavenly Father desires for you, it's so much more. Yes, we know that on some occasions, earthly fathers can be pretty cruel and unkind at times and not walk in the way that God would want them to. But here we see Jesus saying, if you then who are evil, because we all know that we need forgiveness, that none of us are perfect, that we all walk in a way that is not always honoring to Jesus. Know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, yes, instead of, they're going to give them the fish, they're going to give them the egg. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more does he want to move in your life? After his resurrection, Jesus met with his disciples in that upper room. And besides revealing himself to them that he had truly risen from the dead, as part of that encounter, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. So they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But later on, he says to them, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And so the disciples had to stay there after they had watched Jesus' ascension, and they went back to Jerusalem. They had to stay there. And they stayed in that upper room. And in Acts chapter 2, just a little bit further on, we read of that mighty wind blowing through their lives and the tongues of fire settling on them. They were filled. Now they had received the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so their lives were changed forever, changed and empowered to be the witnesses that Jesus called them to be. You see, when we go back to Luke 11, it says, how much more will the Father, your Father in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the Father has much more that he wants to give us in the person of the Holy Spirit. On that great day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we too, when we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, have been given the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit when we come to God, we need to repent of our sins and acknowledge Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. And we too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift that shows that ninefold fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And those gifts that he has in store for us to use. You see, how would you feel if you gave someone a gift and they left it on the shelf and they didn't, and you come back weeks later and you find it still sitting on the shelf and the person that you'd given the gift to still hasn't bothered to open it? You would feel a bit aggrieved. But God so loves us that he gives us gifts for us to use, to build up his church, to build up his community, to build us up in, as individual Christians. We all receive the same fruit, that ninefold fruit, but we receive different gifts. And God graciously gives us the gifts that he believes are right for us. And so we need to seek him to find out what those gifts are, so that we can build each other up, so that we can encourage one another, both within the fellowship of believers and the community outside. But, so God has much more than he wants to give us. There's that, in that great letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, in part of Ephesians chapter 3. I just love this passage. This is from Ephesians 3, and I'm starting at verse 17. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. So time and again, there is that power that God has available to us, and we just need to let him unleash it from us. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive it, but sometimes our lives are not fully open to letting it be fully displayed. And Paul uses, again, in Romans chapter 5, he uses this phrase, how much more? And this is how much more we are justified from Christ. This is Romans 5, starting at verse 9. Since now we have been justified by his blood, that's the blood of Jesus, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. So Paul here is saying to the Romans and down the ages to us today, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and that we are justified just as if we had never sinned, because how much more we'll be saved, and how much more we will escape the wrath of God, because we know and acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. We've been reconciled. We've been made right with God. We're saved, because that's what Jesus has done for us. That's the how much more that God has done for mankind, mankind as a whole, and for each one of us as individual believers. It's more than we can ask or imagine, as Paul said at that end of that passage in Ephesians that I've just read. And then there is another, how much more? And this time it's in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. And again, it talks about Jesus making the way forward for us. Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of all the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not as part of his creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly unclean. How much more, therefore, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we might serve the living God? It's all to do with what Christ has done for us. He has gone through, and his blood is much more effective than the blood of animals could ever have been. His blood is far more able to save us and to cleanse us and to renew us. And so we have the justifying, redeeming, atoning blood of Jesus available to us now. And we have far greater access to God because of that. And so I believe what God is saying to us this morning is that we should not be satisfied with where we are in our walk with Christ. Or even if we haven't already come to that point of knowing Jesus, perhaps this morning is the day of your salvation, the day you acknowledge for the first time that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But for those other of us, perhaps who have been Christians for a long time, we realize that we need to be empowered afresh from on high so that we can know and serve and love God. When we look at the book of First Chronicles, when you read the first few chapters, indeed most of it, it's just a list of names, a list of descendants from the different tribes of Israel. But then there is that beam of light that shines through in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. But Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And some translations say that so I may not cause pain to others. God granted his request. So Jabez was not content just to go along with the mill, to run along with the crowd. He was after a greater experience of God. And so that is a challenge for us today. When we look at those times in history when there has been revival, no revival takes place without it being birthed in ardent, persistent prayer, resulting in a greater love for God and a greater wonder of all that Christ has done for us on the cross. No wonder the hymn writer wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the King of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." And so we need to have the power of God released in our lives. John Stott, the 20th and 21st theologian, said this: "What we need is not more learning, not more eloquence, not more persuasion or organization, but more power from the Holy Spirit." And that, I believe, is what each one of us needs today, to have that power that is already within us released. And there is another passage that really thrills me, and that's Ezekiel 37. It's that wonderful passage that talks about the man walking in the river flowing from the throne of God. "The man brought me to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw water flowing out from under the threshold towards the east. The water was coming down from under the south side, south of the altar. Then he brought me to the north gate, and he showed me the river. The water was flowing, and as the man went eastward with a measuring line, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water. It was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and it was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and the water was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000 cubits, but now it was so deep that I could not cross, because the water had risen so that I could swim in it, a river that no one could cross." And then it goes on to talk about the river bringing life to those trees that are on the bank. And so here was this man, this image of this man, walking through the river of God, initially in control, because it was up to his ankles. A bit more, perhaps a bit less in control, because it was around his knees. Starting to think, what's happening, because it's around my waist now. And then when it gets deeper, no longer having the security of being able to touch the ground on his own, in his own strength, he's buoyed by the Spirit of God, by the river of God. And that is a wonderful picture of God showing us how much that we can depend on him and trust him for the way forward, because he has now so much more to give us. We have a God who promises so much and still promises today. But sometimes we are guilty of not letting him have the full control that he desires. Someone has compared this to trying to drive a car with the handbrake still on. And that's quite difficult, because I've tried it myself. You know, when you suddenly jump into the car and you turn on the engine and you think, oh, why is it not moving? I'm sure you found that, David John. I still do, I can assure you. And so you don't have the control that you want. You're not able to do what you want. And so God wants to move in our lives. And we need to look as to what might be stopping him moving fully. Perhaps an abiding unconfessed sin. An expectation that we in ourselves are not good enough for God to use. And that is what the enemy would tell us. He would say to us, Oh, look at what you've done. Look at how you're living. God can't use you. But that's a lie of the enemy. God, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he can and he will use you to be much more effective for him. In scripture, the images of the Holy Spirit are oil, wind, river, water, and fire. And the challenge I see for us is how much more the anointing oil for the oil of the Spirit to pour into our lives, for the fire of the Spirit to be glowing, as one of the lines in one of Brian's favorite hymns is, send the fire to burn up every trace of sin. That's what we need. We need God to cleanse us by his fire and help us, as it says in another more modern song, to blaze, Spirit blaze, set our hearts on fire. And then for the wind of the Spirit to take us where he wants, to lead us where he wants us to go. And for the water of the Spirit to be flowing, to take us into a deeper relationship with him. So the oil comes, the fire glows, the river flows, and the wind blows. And that is what God, how much more God wants to do in our lives today and in the days ahead. Let's pray. You know, I just feel that it may be that God has been moving afresh in your heart and mind and spirit today. And I want you to join with me in praying for how much more he would give us. Lord, I'm not satisfied in my walk with you. My desire is to love you more, to serve you more, to honor you more. And we can only do that when we allow the how much more of your Spirit to invade our lives and to lead us and guide us forward so that Jesus would be seen and glorified in our lives as we witness for him. So challenge us today, we pray. Move us forward. Take us deeper. Take us higher. Make us stronger in all that you do in our lives. Let us try and grasp how high and long and deep and wide is the love that you have for us. Lord, help us, because in our own strength, we cannot do it. We need your empowering. We need your enriching. We need you more and more in our lives. Amen.